This is the Voice of Literacy, where literacy researchers, teachers, principals, parents, and policymakers share and discuss how literacy research informs practice. Join the biweekly podcast and discussion forums. My name is Dr. Betsy Baker, Professor of Literacy Studies at the University of Missouri. This week we hear from Anne Sharp from Brigham Young University. She does research involving children's orthographic knowledge. Welcome, Dr. Sharp.
Thank you.
First, tell us about yourself and how you got interested in orthography, and maybe we should start with what is orthography?
Orthography is nothing more than spelling. It's just a fancy word for spelling. I guess we could get into more technical terms, but I think that is pretty explanatory. I got interested in spelling because none of my children could spell.
Huh.
I can't spell. And so when I went to get my doctorate, they all said, "Hey, Mom, you need to figure out why none of us can spell." So as I took my doctorate courses, I started to look at any way I could add into it a research look at spelling. So that's how I got interested in it.
Wonderful. It's a wonderful way to get interested in it, and certainly what a valuable topic. Now, Dr. Sharp, could you explain further some of the importance of understanding orthography? Why should we care about the topic of spelling?
Well, spelling is a much more complex skill than most people realize. It's really important to literacy acquisition, actually. Learning to spell and learning to read are mere processes. For instance, when you spell, you're mapping sounds to letters. And when you read, you're mapping letters to sounds. So they kind of mirror each other. Also, we use the same place in our brain to both read and spell. We call it the lexicon, which is kind of a hypothetical place where we store all the words like a dictionary. And when we read, we use this lexicon to recognize the words, and when we spell, we use the lexicon to produce the words. So they have a lot of similarities. Also, phonological awareness, that's a prerequisite skill for learning how to read. And spelling and reading both need phonological awareness. And phonological awareness is augmented or strengthened by spelling and reading. So they're reciprocal processes.
Can you break down for us phonological awareness? What do you mean by that?
Phonological awareness is being able to discern or manipulate sounds in speech.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being able to hear individual sounds in words. It has a hierarchy of sophistication, and the most sophisticated part of phonology is phonemes.
And phonemes are?
Phonemes are individual sounds, like k, a, t,
uh-huh.
That three different sounds all making up the word cat.
Okay. So there's a relationship then between reading and spelling and phonological awareness.
And reading and phonological awareness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, so you've done a fascinating study here then on trying to understand children's orthographic knowledge. In your Reading Research Quarterly piece, it states that your results extend prior research by demonstrating a more complex view of spelling development. Can you talk about that some?
Yes. When we look at developmental ways children learn skills, we have typically thought about it in stage-like ways where children learn something and then they move on to the next stage and they learn something more. Or we thought about it in a cumulative ways where we just flow from one more sophisticated way of learning to a greater sophisticated way of learning. There's been other ways of describing paths of development. Another way is the overlapping wave model. Am I getting too technical here?
Well, we'll keep going and we'll try to ask you to clarify anytime.
Okay. What I did was I looked at all three of these models of development, and tried to see how spelling really did develop. And what I found was that if I looked at different aspects of spelling, like if I looked at the way children accumulated spelling features and understood them, then it did very much appear like it was a stage-like progression. But if I looked at strategies and how children use strategies to help them spell, then it looked more like an overlapping wave model that Siegler suggested. So I'm suggesting that we need to look further into spelling development and see if other people see the same thing.
And so given your expertise then now on understanding these different models, what might you recommend to teachers?
Oh, I think that they need to look at spelling both as the words progress, so developmentally as they look at features of spelling, and then they need to also look at strategies, and they need to look at how strategies can augment and help their children learn how to spell.
And if I was a principal, how would this information inform me?
Well, I think as a principal, you just need to be aware that there are different ways of spelling that are not traditional, and so teachers need to be supported in those ways. It might be nice for a principal to have like a parent time where they teach parents the different ways of teaching spelling so that they are more comfortable with a teacher trying some of these newer methods.
And that's a wonderful segue into, if I was a parent, you know, I think often the quality time or fun time I look forward to is working with my child and his spelling list this week. And what do some of your findings here imply for me as a parent and the spelling words my child brings home?
I would suggest to parents that they start understanding or looking at the fact that children learn to spell in a sequential way. And because it's a sequential pattern that some things are learned before another thing is learned, then it's okay if children use what we call invented spelling. Invented spelling is when children are taking everything they know about their language and about the orthographic patterns that they have learned, and they try to apply it in words that are unknown to them. And often this invented spelling will reflect what they know about phonology, it will reflect what they know about orthographic patterns, and it will even reflect what they know about morphemes. So it can help in creating more correct conventional spelling later, and is a good tool to get them thinking and looking at exploring their language.
So it's not, if I let my child invent spelling, I'm not letting them practice something that's wrong?
No, I don't think so. I think invented spelling is, they're actually exploring what they already know and trying to put it down on paper, and it's developmentally appropriate. Eventually, we do want to get them to spell the word conventionally, but this leads to it, actually.
Oh, this is such a rich topic, and we could go on, but do you have any other comments about spelling? What else we need to find out? What research you're doing now or next?
Yes. I think that we really need to look at spelling in this developmental path and really try and find out if there are different ways. I'm suggesting in my research that I found different ways, but we need more research to see if others find that too. And if there are different paths in which children take to learn how to spell, how do they converge together to really create conventional spelling? Also, I think instructionally we need to really look at spelling in terms of what is best practices in spelling instruction? What more can we do to augment and enhance spelling? And how does that apply to literacy since reading and spelling are so connected?
Dr. Ann Sharp from Brigham Young University, thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
You can find Dr. Sharp's research in Reading Research Quarterly, Volume 43, Issue 3, which came out in July 2008. Go to our website, voiceofliteracy.org, where you can find a link to this article and additional work done by Dr. Sharp. You can also join online discussions of this and other podcast episodes. We invite you to peruse a schedule of upcoming topics and guests, where you can pose questions for those guests. This is the Voice of Literacy.
This interview was recorded in the Sisselcast Studios at the University of Missouri-Columbia.